Proverbs chapter 28. I think we'll read the entire chapter. I'm just going to take one verse and pull a thought out of it and preach for just a little bit this morning, but I think we will read the whole chapter. Proverbs is a wonderful book. It's filled with a lot of practical instructions for practical people living in a world like we're living. We know that Solomon penned all or most of these Proverbs down. He was the writer, the wisest man in the world, the Bible records. Yet, even though he penned these instructions down for those of us that would read it in later life, know he was writing this primarily probably to his sons, but we know that Solomon, because the love of strange women, his heart was turned away from God. We have to be careful today, or this world and the things of this world will turn our hearts away from God. Amen. We're living in a complicated society today. And even though it might be hard to be a Christian sometimes, it's not impossible. I'm glad if we've got the Holy Ghost living inside of us. I'm glad that that old-time power that was available to those that's come before us is still available to us today. We just need to take the instructions that God has left us, His revealed will. I'm glad we got 66 books of the revealed will of God. And the will of God is the best thing for your life this morning. And I think that God has pinned these things down, these instructions in Proverbs. If we just had the book of Proverbs, if we'd live according to the instructions that's given us in the book of Proverbs, we could live a Christian life that would be pleasing to God. We could avoid a lot of heartaches and a lot of problems that comes our way sometimes. Most of our problems today are self-inflicted. We're living in a world that hates God. They hate the things of God. They hate anything that reminds them of God. That's why people are so today protesting the manger scenes and the things that reminds them of their sinfulness and why they hate preaching. That's why they hate anything that has to do with God at this time of the year. Not only this time of the year, but all through the year. I'm thankful that we have some holidays that are designed to remind us of God's blessing and God's goodness in our lives. I know all holidays can be corrupted. Christmas is a great holiday and a great opportunity to witness for Christ in this day and hour that we're living in. But it's been corrupted through the commercialism of Christmas. It starts at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one day that it's hard for them to corrupt, but they have corrupted just a little bit. There's nothing wrong with holidays. Israel had holy days that where they were reminded of the goodness of God, that they could honor God back in their feasts and how the Lord had blessed them, where He'd brought them from, where He'd carried them to, and all those things that God had given them. They had those feast days to remind them. I think it's good for us to have holidays that will remind us of Christ and what He came to do. And I'm glad of Christmas. I like Christmas time. And even though it has been corrupted through commercialism, I like Thanksgiving to get time, a time that families can come together and we can give thanks. But we should be thankful 365 days a year, not just one day of year. We ought to, as Christians, as believers, we ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. And so let's read Proverbs chapter 28. This morning, there's a lot of instructions in one chapter of these of this great book, and I've tried to encourage you to read a chapter a day. If you've never done it, try it. Start on the first day of the month. The second day, read the second chapter. The third day, read the third chapter, and so on all through the month. And then when you get through that month, start over again. Read it with an open heart and an open mind. Let God speak to you. It'll tell you how to raise your children, young people. hey, we get one shot at this thing of raising children, and there's some good instructions in the book of Proverbs as far as raising our children. And dads, there's good instructions in Proverbs of how to keep you out of trouble. And I'm going to preach on one of those thoughts this morning, Lord being our helper. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Verse 13, and this is where I want to take my text from this morning. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that falleth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect to persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother saith, it is no transgression. The same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Lord, we sure do thank you again for your word, for the instructions you've given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, thank you for loving us while we was yet sinners, that you were willing to give your son. Lord, I pray as we approach this Christmas year, help us to be reminded in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, of why Jesus came into this world, Lord. And God, what Christmas is all about for the Christian. Lord, I pray that we'd never forget that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning for just a little bit. Lord, as we try to preach what we feel you've laid upon our heart. Lord, I pray for the anointing, the unction. Lord, I pray for liberty to preach. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost this morning, one listening or watching by the way of the webcast, Lord, is lost and don't know you as their Savior. I pray this will be the day that they'll come to call upon your name. Be with those that or not here that could be. Lord, be with those that have gone wayward. Lord, I pray that you speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning. Lord, that you'll touch them and help them. Lord, realize there's much sickness going around, and I just pray that your will be done in their lives. You'd give healing. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now for just a little bit. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. You can be seated. Verse 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I want to preach for just a little bit, the Lord being my helper, this morning for just a little bit on covered sin, its results and remedy. Covered sins, its results and remedy. We're living in a great day of cover-up today. I mean, this world knows how to cover up things. They know how to sweep things under the rug. We watched a program here the other day, and this cop got killed. And they come to find out when they went to talk to his wife and the things that was going on, he had gotten killed as an undercover cop, and come to find out he had two families. He had a wife with two children that he'd been married to for years and years. And then he had a woman on the side and had a little girl, I believe it was, by her. But anyway, I said all that to say that he had all that covered up. And he thought he had it covered up, but they come a day when that was uncovered. Now, this is television. This is not reality. But I promise you there's a lot of that stuff going on today. There's a lot in churches that people think they have covered up. But can I say this morning in light of the Scripture? It says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, going to and fro, beholding the good and the evil. So we know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He knows our hearts. He knows the very hairs of our head. He knows what's in our life. He knows what we think we've got covered up this morning. And one of these days it's going to be exposed. One of these days it'll be exposed. We wonder a lot of times why people don't prosper. Well, the Bible says here that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We find here in the book of Proverbs, the first statement is made, we find a dogmatic statement here that the writer made, said, he that covereth his sins. We know that the Scriptures is true. And we find a lot of people that thinks they got things covered up this morning. And we find a lot of people that's not prospering in their life. I'm talking about saved people, born again people, that think that they can dabble around with the world, and they think that they can cover their sins up and be right with God and enjoy the blessings of God. It'll never happen, friend. So we see a dogmatic statement. We see a sinful man will never prosper. You wonder sometimes, you think, well, I've worked hard and I've tried to do this, I've tried to do that. Yet you never see any prosperity in your life. Could it be because you got covered sin? But could it be because there's sin in your life that's not been confessed, that's not been forsaken, that you're holding on to? So we see a dogmatic statement. A sinful man will never prosper. We see a slothful man will never produce. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. We know that there's the law of sowing and reaping in the Scripture. The Bible tells us about the man that don't plant because of thinking about rain or something. He won't reap anything. So we see a slothful man will never produce. You got to put forth some effort in your life if you're going to ever experience victory, if you're going to experience a Christian life that's pleasing to God. There's going to have to be some producing in your life, and there's going to be some forsaking. There's going to have to be some sacrifice, and I promise you, if you produce fruit, that it's going to take some sacrifice. If you have a garden, it takes work. If you have a Christian life, it's going to take effort on your part. Verse 30 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had
had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So we see a dogmatic statement, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We see a sinful man will never prosper. A slothful man will never produce. You get lazy in your Christian life and you'll never produce anything for the Lord. You'll never experience the power of God in your life and what God wants for you and your family. Then we see not only a sinful man never prosper, a slothful man will never produce, we see a satisfied man will never perish. A satisfied man will never perish. Proverbs 19 and 23. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I'm glad the only thing that's going to bring satisfaction to a person's life this morning is Jesus Christ. Hey, the only thing that's going to bring a satisfaction to a person's life that's saved is to have their sins confessed. Quit trying to cover up and be something that you're not. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, if people would just try Jesus. I'm glad if people would just try Jesus that a lot of their problems in their life could be solved. I'm not saying you'll never have no trouble, but I'm going to tell you, if you're satisfied and if you're with the Lord Jesus is ruling and reigning in your heart and your life, I'm glad that there'll be some satisfaction, hey, that this world knows not of. The only way you're ever going to be satisfied is trust in Jesus. You may be here this morning, you've tried religion. Hey, you've tried church membership. Why don't you just try Jesus this morning and see if he won't satisfy you? I'm talking about the Bible says here, a man that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Hey, there's a lot of people that's got things covered up in their life and they're unwilling to turn loose of them. That's why their life is a wreck and that's why they're not living for Jesus today. Some of them just need to get born again. Some of them needs to junk that religion and trust Jesus and get satisfied in their soul. And then I promise you the sins won't be covered and swept under the rug near as likely. People get in trouble with God that are saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a person that's walking with the Lord and he's received Christ as his Savior and he's experiencing a relationship on a regular basis, on day in and day out, applying the revealed will of God to their life, that person be satisfied. They might not have the prosperity of this world. Hey, the psalmist, he said, I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, my foot might not slip. He said, then I went on a little bit later on there, though. He said, I went into the sanctuary and I realized their end. He said, I realized where they were headed. I'm saying, a satisfied man will never perish this morning. I'm glad of the promise of eternal life to all those that trust Jesus. So we see a dogmatic statement here in the very first outstart of verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We see, number two, a definite promise. That promise is twofold, and we've done looked at that a little bit this morning. He shall not prosper, those that forsake their sin, confess their sins and forsake their sin, shall have mercy. I'm glad there's mercy, that God is a merciful God this morning. A definite promise. Hey, if you're going to cover your sins, you might as well expect to not prosper. But if you'll confess your sins and forsake them, you can find mercy this morning. Hey, you can find the peace of God. Not just only peace with God. I'm glad that when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And I'm glad that the moment I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I acquired that peace with God. But that peace of God comes every day. through confession and forsaking, and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says not forsaking the assembly of yourselves. We need church. We need church in our lives. I mean, we need that personal relationship on a daily basis, but we do need church. People says they can live just as good at home as they can at church. They ain't a lick of truth. They've been deceived. They can't live just as good at home as they can at church. If it was, the Bible wouldn't say upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside his Lord has prospered him. Sweeping it up under the rug. And wonder why they're not prospering. Why their desire to serve God is not there. I promise you, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to have a spiritual victory in your life if you're covering sin this morning. We see a definite promise. You cover your sins and you'll not prosper, but if you'll confess them and forsake them, you'll find mercy. Then we see number three, a delivering factor. It's also twofold. Confession and forsaking. It's going to take identifying that sin. I said this many times. God is a God of specifics. Now, He knows what your sin is. And I think that when we've confessed all of our known sins in our life, those that we really know and those that we're trying to cover up, we get them out of our lives, then I think it's okay if we say, and Lord, just forgive me of all my sins. Some of those maybe that I've forgotten about. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you've got known sin in your life and you're unwilling to identify that sin, hey, there's not going to be no forgiveness. It'd do you good just get you a pen and paper sometime. Just write down your sins and look at them and see what they are. Forgive me, Lord, for my lying. Hey, if you look at that for just a little bit and you realize that you're a liar, then it might help you to be real in your confession and your forsaking. So forgive me, Lord, for my evil thoughts. Forgive me for looking at that stuff that I shouldn't have looked at. Forgive me, Lord, for listening to that gossip, for that backbiting. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for failing to give back to you like I should have. My time, my talents, my tithe. The Bible says, over there in the book of Malachi, wherein have you robbed God? You've robbed Him in tithes and offerings. There's also that robbing of our time, that we don't take that time to have a relationship and read the Word of God and study the Word of God on a regular basis. Some people are so spiritually illiterate of the Word of God in the Scripture because they don't take time to read their Bible and to try to find out what God means. What He said in that book. Them sins of omission just bad as them sins of commission. Everybody will read their Bible. Where will all shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are they going to know what to abstain from if he don't study and read the Word of God? It's one thing to say I'm a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian. It's one thing to say I go to a Bible-believing church, but it's another thing to know what you believe. And I'm not saying you ought to be able to understand everything in the Word of God. It ain't the things that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things that I do understand that bothers me of my responsibilities. Those basic things, Brother Todd. Hey, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some people that's made professions, they've been a member of a church, and they ain't grown a lick. There's something wrong. It could be covered sin. It could just be that they don't have a personal relationship every day with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying everybody's not prospering is because they got covered sin. Don't you go off and say that, but it could be a grave possibility that you've got sins covered up, that you've not confessed, that you've not forsaken. Things that you do in the private times of your life that you think nobody else knows. Well, God knows. The Bible said in the last days in the book of Judges, said they'd be calling good evil and evil good. Hey, we're seeing that today. We see the blasphemers out here, but what about those that are in church that claim to be Christians? And they don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have that peace of God. I want the peace of God. When you got the peace of God, you can be like the Apostle Paul when it comes down to the way to die. He knew that he was going to die. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So we see here a delivering factor. It's twofold also, confession and forsaking. What's in your life that you're holding on to that you've not forsaken? Give you five things real quick and we'll be gone. Covered sin hinders progression in one's Christian life. It hinders progression in one's Christian life. Sometimes people don't understand. Well, they go to church and they never grow. Why? Well, maybe they've got sin, covered sin in their life that they haven't dealt with. They think they've got it hid from everybody else, and they think that it's okay as long as nobody else knows it. Well, God knows it. It produces no fear in a person's life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil an hundred times, and his days is prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. There's a lot of people that's sinning, and just because they've got by with it, time after time, they think that God's okay with it, maybe, and they just keep on and continue in that sin. But let me tell you, friend, one of these days, God's going to drop the hammer down. If you're saved and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's your Savior, if you're a member of His body, He's going to deal one of these days. The Bible says those that are without chastisement are bastards and not sons. If you can sin and sin for years and years and you've been dabbling in stuff and you got things covered up, you might ought to check up. You may not be a child of God. Covered sin hinders progression in one's life. It produces no fear. Hey, it produces no faith. That's why I said coming to the house of God is important in our lives. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher, and how can they preach except they be sent? There's a lot of people just go through the motions now. It's become a Sunday morning mentality, and I know a lot of things is man-made. Sunday nights, maybe. But I don't know about that, because old Paul and them, they were meeting over there when Eutychus fell out of the house window about midnight. They was having night services. Said they went from house to house. There was a need for them to have corporate worship, to come together, the body of Christ. I believe in a local, visible church. Why do you think there's churches all across this country? You can't go nowhere without seeing one of a steeple. You can't go nowhere without seeing. You get in the South and you see Baptist churches everywhere. And by the way, I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I believe they're the closest to the truth of any denomination there are. I believe we can trace our roots all the way back to the apostles. Now, you can get out on a limb with that. There's these Baptist writers. They think that the Baptists are the only ones that's going to heaven. They ain't licked truth in that. Anybody that's trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I don't care if they're Pentecostal, Methodist, or whatever they are, if they've trusted Jesus and Jesus has come into their heart, then they're saved. But church is important. Personal time with God is important. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to read the Word of God. And it's something to read the Word of God, and then a man of God gets up and preaches on something that you've looked at. And God has given him light, and he expounds upon that Scripture, and man, it begins to click with you. If we get attentive to what God wants for us, then we might understand a lot more than we don't understand. If we'd pay attention, if we'd listen, if we'd read. You read that Bible through, and every time you read it through, that's the only book that just don't never get old. You can't read too much of the Word of God. You can't pray too much. I don't even think you can go to church too much. Not at the rate that we go today. Not in this world that we're living in today. These God haters. My son, a while ago, he called us. He was in a McDonald's, and there was a preacher, I believe it was preaching on television, and there was this other young man in there, and he got up just cussing. He said, "Turn that off." And he used some very foul language. And you know what? It done me some good. Oh, Stephen, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. Why? Because something has been put in him, and he realized where that guy was at. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if we fall in love with Jesus, hey, it'd satisfy our souls. It'd satisfy our homes. Homes would be a little heaven on earth. You want a little heaven on earth? Just stay with Jesus. Find you a good church where you can be a blessing, where you can work in, where you can give back as God has prospered you. I said this, that crash of 2008, it may have just been God getting some of His tithes back from people. He's blessed and blessed and blessed in the building. He's blessed in all kinds of our occupational works, and then people just keep and they hoard and they take and they take and they don't ever get back to God in the ministry. No wonder we had a crash in 2008. Hey, God's going to get His. You'll either give it to Him willfully and honestly, or He'll get it through some other means. Why some people don't have no more than they have sometimes. They struggle all the time because they won't give back to God. I ain't got no retirement. Never had a job and built up no retirement. But you know, I've tried to lay up some treasures in heaven. I've tried to be honest with God in my giving and giving to missions and giving of offerings and giving of tithes. Hey, they payday someday. You say, you're bragging. No, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what God did for me. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm trusting in Him. I've done what He's told me to. I've worked. And you know, He's always blessed me. You know, these people today, they want a handout. They don't want to work. And then with those who work, they work, Brother Todd. Then they don't want to give back to God. They want to keep it all. You say, why are you on that? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to help you. As Brother Keith said, I'm trying to help you this morning if you'll listen to me. I'm trying to help you where you can be satisfied in your life, in your home life. Hey, I promise you, you might hoard it up, but you ain't gonna enjoy it. There'll be always something breaking, be something tearing up, be sickness, there'll be problems. Covered sin hinders progression in one's life. It produces no fear, it produces no faith, it produces no fruit. I wonder how much fruit have we produced? Now, I don't want to get this. I know the Bible says over there in Galatians, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, temperance. That's fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 things there. I think that every Christian should be producing those fruits. But I'm talking about some personal fruit. What kind of personal fruit do you have? Have you ever won anybody to Jesus? Hey, that'll get things quiet. When you go to preaching on one-on-one soul winning, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I mean, we're living in a divided, we're in a divided denomination. Baptist. You got your Calvinist, and you got your, they're not Armenians. That's what they classify them, Armenians. Armenians believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I'm not a Calvinist, though. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. I have no problem with the foreknowledge of God. Hey, if He didn't know everything about us, He wouldn't be God. He knows who's going to get saved, when they're going to get saved, how they're going to get saved, what it's going to take to get them saved. But it's a whosoever will thing, friend. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. What does that whosoever mean? That means whosoever will, let him come. That means if you're willing to come to Jesus, then He'll save you. Now, a lot of these Calvinists, they want to say that we're into shallow evangelism, maybe, or easy believism. That's what it is. Easy believism. I don't believe in this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I believe that John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me, draw him. But do we ever have a desire to lead people to Jesus? Hey, could we take that King James Bible and open it up and show someone how to get saved if we run up on somebody and God divinely put someone in our path that we could witness to, we could give them a tract and they was under conviction? Do we know how to take that Bible and present the gospel to them? We should. We shouldn't have to wait till Sunday morning and get them to church. Hey, if they're under conviction and God's working in their heart, we ought to be able to take our Bible. We ought to have enough scripture memorized, we wouldn't even have to have our Bible. We could lead them to the Lord because it's the Spirit of God that saves a person. He takes the Word of God and He works that Word in their heart. He convicts them and He draws them, He woos them, and He takes that and reveals to them their need of salvation. And then they get born again. We ought to be able to take that Romans Road, the book of John, different book. We ought to be able to take Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and lead someone to Jesus. Philip, when he went upside that Ethiopian eunuch there that was returning home from Jerusalem, he said, understandeth what thou readest? He said, how can I but some man guide me? He said, the prophet, who is he talking about, himself or someone else? And said, Philip took the scriptures and expounded unto him Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch, he got saved. He wasn't in church. Hey, God was working. That was during the time when God was moving after the day of Pentecost. People was getting saved. He was multiplying. He was adding to the church daily. That Ethiopian said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest, thou can. Said they both went down into the water. Philip, I don't know what happened to him. He disappeared the way it sounds to me. Hey, it was a transitional period, but God was still saving people the same way that He saves them today. He saves them through the Spirit of God, pricking their hearts, revealing to them their lost condition. He takes the Word of God, and you're saved by the fact of the Scriptures, that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Have you ever had a desire to lead somebody to the Lord? You say, well, I'm just afraid I'll lead them wrong. Well, what happened to you? How did you get saved? You ought to be able to help someone that's lost if they're seeking and they're searching. You ought to be able to take the Scriptures and lead them to Jesus. You ought to be able to give them a plan of salvation and pray with them. Covered sin hinders progression in one's Christian life. It produces no fruit, fear. It produces no faith. It produces no fruit. And it produces no future. I'm going to tell you what, covered sin will produce no fruit, no future in this church. We go to sweeping things under the rug and unwilling to deal with them. Hey, it won't be long till we'll die. There'll be no future. Covered sin hinders progression in one's Christian life, and when it's hindered in our Christian life, it'll hinder in our church life. One man hindered the children of Israel from going into the, from winning that battle over there after Jericho. He took of that accursed thing, and they went up against that little old bunch of folks over there, and they couldn't even beat them. And Joshua said, there's something wrong. Come to find out, Achan, he had carried that Babylonian's garment, hid it in his tent, covered it up. It hindered the whole nation from winning that battle. Okay, covered sin hinders progression in one's Christian life. Covered sin hinders people. Hinders other people. It hinders young Christians when they see older Christians that's got covered sin in their life. Other people are watching today. Hey, it not only hinders young Christians, but it hinders sinners. Have you ever had that excuse made? Well, if they're Christians, I'm okay. If they're living like that, and they claim to be Christians, then I'm all right. No need in me doing that, making a profession. So covered sin hinders people. I don't want to be a stumbling block, nobody, do you? I don't want to hinder my children. I don't want to hinder my neighbors from trusting Jesus. Covered sin hinders other people. Covered sin hinders prayer. Psalms 32 verse 5 said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Psalm 66 verse 18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we see a lot of times a covered sin hinders our prayer. We see when we're unwilling to confess it, if we regard that wickedness, if we are unwilling to deal with that wickedness, then the Bible says our prayers will not be hindered. We wonder sometimes, well, why is God not answering my prayers? Maybe there's some covered sin somewhere. When we're not seeing no results to our prayers answered. Broken vows. A lot of people make vows to God, and they wonder then why they never hear no prayers, why they never see God work in their life. Covered sin hinders prayer. Covered sin hinders power. Covered sin hinders power. I remember as a boy, Brother Keith, going to them meetings back yonder years ago, revival meetings. God would move in them little old country churches. Power of God would fall. People would get saved. And now we don't have enough power in our churches to move people. Sinners will come in, they'll look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. One preacher said, we don't have enough power to blow the fuzz off of a peach anymore. It's because of cover sin. You'd be surprised at what's hidden in our churches, our local, fundamental, independent Baptist churches. Hey, I've heard of things that's come out in churches that shouldn't even been said of the world, let alone in churches, things that was going on, I mean undercover. Undercover. There was some sexual sins going on up in a church in Tennessee back yonder years ago. When it come out, it was scandalous. Brother Willard had preached there. Brother Wood, different preachers had preached there. And they hadn't picked up on what was going on there. Brother Willard was telling about that, and he said, him and another preacher talking, he said, boy, we're real spiritual, ain't we? We couldn't even pick up on it. We don't think a lot about things like that. But I believe if we're where we ought to be, we can pick up on things. Covered sin hinders the power of God in your life. It hinders the power of God in our churches across this land. We wonder sometimes, why do we not see God move? Well, there's covered sin. It's obvious. We can beat around the bush about it, or whatever we want to do. But I'm going to tell you, it all stemmed from cover sin. I just mentioned we've got the 66 books of the revealed will of God in our lives. And the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord not hear me. If there's wickedness, if there's sin in our hearts, then our prayers are not going to be answered. Then it's going to hinder our power. 2 Timothy over in chapter 3, he said they would have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. He gave that list of things up to that point of verse 5. And we wonder sometimes why we're not seeing God do anything. Well, we might ought to all take inventory this morning to see what's going on in our lives, what we've got covered, what we've got that we've not confessed, what we've got that we've not forsaken. Then not only covered sin hinders power, but covered sin hinders the purpose of God in our lives. Come on, Miss Sarah. Covered sin hinders the purpose of God in our lives. God can't work in an unclean vessel. Never has, never will. He could, but He won't. And sometimes we see things go on for a long time. God's long-suffering. But covered sin hinders the purpose of God for your life, for my life, and for the life of our children. I don't want to be a hindrance to you. That's why it's so important that we confess our sins as they come up. A lot of times people are, something come up and they think, well, I got this thing hid. I'm not going to deal with it. Just sweep it up under the rug just a little bit further. If we could roll back the rug this morning, I wonder what we would see. We might get some answers of why things are not going well in our spiritual life. Why we're not progressing in our Christian life. Why we've been saved for years and years and we're still stagnant. We still don't have that desire to see God move. We think if we go to church a time or two, a month or a week, that we've done God some service. Well, God wants to do something. And covered sin hinders the purpose of God in our lives this morning. How is it this morning? Do you have anything covered up that you know? If God could unroll your life, what would you see on the screen this morning? What kind of sins would be there that's not been dealt with? What kind of sins, unconfessed, unforsaken? God wants to do something. And on this first Sunday of December 2016, let me tell you, this year is about over. Our theme was reaching forth in 2016. We've about come to the end of that reaching forth in 2016. We're fixing to go into 2017. What is God going to do for us in 2017 as we near the end of this year? Why don't we just confess everything, get it out? Get it out of our lives, forsake it. And purpose in our heart when 2017 rolls around, January 1st, hey, that we're going to be right with God and ready to go. 2017. We've had all year. Are we still stagnant? Is there still no purpose being fulfilled in our life? Let's all stand. The Lord spoke to your heart. I feel like that's a message the Lord told me to preach this morning. If you're here this morning lost and never trusted Jesus, it'd be a good day to get in. If you don't have no peace in your heart, hey, I don't care how many professions I'd made, if I didn't have no peace in my heart, I'd junk it and I'd get in and I'd get born again this morning.